Hello, this is David Moore, starting again. This is March the 15th, and sorry about the abrupt halt of the last tape, but we had run out of battery power. So we're going to pick up where we left off, and all I'm going to do is just go over, just in a brief manner, what Bill had said, and if there's anything that I miss or that is different, then Bill will chime in. But he was talking about the 69th Squadron at the time and being assigned to the 69th Squadron. And we were talking about the types of missions that he was flying in Korea. He talked about flying, being a strip alert, being on strip alert, weather alert, verification of false radar indicators. He would do recon and do IP verification, which I'm terming, this wasn't his term, but my term is initial rally point in the need to do follow-on missions by a forward air controller. On the strip alert, he said there would be 5 minutes where he's in the cockpit, ready to go, 5 minute strip alert. There's 15 minute strip alert and a trailer next to the aircraft, or a 30 minute where he's actually inside and is able to stand down temporarily. Each one of those indicating that whatever the minute time frame is, that's how fast he needs to be in the aircraft and be ready to be in flight. So if he's in a 5 minute alert, that means within 5 minutes he can be in the air. The other missions, the weather alert, that was to go up and check weather in the area of operations. False radar, if false radar was detected of an aircraft or some type of incoming, the aircraft would scramble to at least two in a flight, sometimes four, but they would scramble up and see what was incoming, being prepared to engage if necessary. Also, we talked about recon, being able to go out and determine, for whatever reason, in advance of any kind of squadron flight or anything like that. Maybe Bill can kind of, maybe you can fill in a little bit more on the recon. I recall you saying that it was in order to, pretty much in order just to go out and see what's out ahead and report, be able to report back, mm-hmm. of any kind of planned flight, mm-hmm. that's going out. We talked about living conditions, living in a tent. He was assigned two different places. One, he had to move because the air strip was under construction. Cold winters, four-man tents, oil-burning stoves inside. Said had good dining facilities. The Korean cooks were there to prepare the food, and they did quite well, except for kimchi.
Okay.
And he said that primarily the mission in Korea during his time there was combat readiness, although it was as close to being near combat as possible. In fact, probably would have, if there ever was the occasion, would have actually flown combat missions, but because it was after the war and the two sides had agreed to cease fire at this phase in the 1950s, there weren't any active air conflicts going on. Mm-hmm. Did fly night missions, talked about being assigned to the primary air command headquarters for Korea, which was for all services. And in that capacity, he was doing planning for air missions and air training that would be conducted during that time.
You might make a point that we flew aerial demonstrations, meaning we dropped live ordnance on a training and a training situation,
okay.
in preparation for close air support for Army troops.
I see.
For their training as well as our training. It was continual training. That's what the air war in Korea was.
Now, was that something that the, kind of going back, you were flying the F-100?
No, F-86s.
Oh, at that point in time?
See, in Korea, We were flying F-86s.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that the F-86 had gone out of service at that time.
No, I was flying the F-100. They sent me to Korea.
Uh-huh.
And when I got there, they had 86s, so that's what I flew in 86.
Oh, okay. Why would they get you all tuned up for an F-100 and then put you in 86s?
Well, because I hadn't been anywhere in the 86 for a period. That was okay. Your turn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, see, there's a later period in the latter stage of Vietnam where I did, in fact, go in the 100.
Okay.
Okay.
I see.
Now, I get mixed up myself in that when I start trying to figure out time-wise versus activity.
Just because that was what the squadron that you joined, I guess what got me confused was in the pre-Korea deployment, you were flying F-100s. I thought they were they were tuning you up in the F-100 so that when you got there, you would be able to fly. Or actually, that squadron I thought was being deployed to
Korea. Yeah, it was individually.
I would say, it was an individual. Wasn't a squadron. It was individual assignment of you to Korea. And when you got to Korea,
assigned to a squadron.
You got assigned to a squadron that flew F-86s.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's about correct.
Okay. That's good. The reason that was confusing to me was in the Marine Corps, that's the way we would do it. We would stand up a unit, and that whole unit would be assigned overseas.
Well, we did that when it came closer to wartime. We'd do the same.
I see.
A lot of individual reassignments around the world.
Makes sense.
Trying to balance it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're almost finished. We're doing good with so far. We actually had a pretty long session this time, but there's only three more things that I want to talk about. One of them was the Oklahoma University assigned to the ROTC. I'm just going to let you see if there's any things you wanted to elaborate on that.
Well, it was my first experience in that situation, but I was teaching sophomores about the Air Force.
Uh-huh. And what kind of classes would you teach the same one class over and over, or did you have several classes?
Several classes.
Mm-hmm. And what were the classes about?
You had the military. I had the word in a moment ago.
Probably customs and traditions, that sort
traditions
of thing.
Traditions and
protocols.
How to salute, how to stand up, how to answer smartly, and then the actual employment of military forces too.
Okay.
And that was one part. Oh, well, there's two or three parts already, but it was a variety.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all sophomores.
I see. Okay. And how long were you? Do you remember about how long? I've got that information.
One semester, I think.
Okay.
Probably was all there, because that's when then I went to Fort Sill from there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
that was a totally different mission. Not really. I'll tell you about that if you need.
Yeah, that was... I forgot to put in here when Cindy was born, because Fort Sill was when Rebecca was born.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, here it is. It's Shaw. Cindy was born there, so I'm sure you were delighted to have a second daughter there at that point. We didn't talk much about it, but I'm sure Avis had her hands full and was able to.
Yeah.
Well, at that point in time, you're still flying the general around, so he kept you busy with the 6 days a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the ROTC assignment,
which was for just the one semester, I think. Mm-hmm. Very short.
And I'm sure that was a rewarding time to see young guys coming in.
Yeah, because I didn't want to go there from Korea. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to an operational unit from Korea, but that's what I got.
Mm-hmm. But you did go to, let's see, after Oklahoma University, the ROTC assignment, you went to Fort Sill Air Base, and do you remember what was the...
I have to give you a little rundown.
Okay.
In the Army, as you well know, the artilleryman is the fire support coordinator.
Right.
And so recognize that whatever kind of support the Army needs, it has to go through the fire support coordinator. And we, the Air Force, then assign an officer to the Army as to, well, I don't know how to say it. The point is that we, the Air Force, had rather be controlling their Air Force aircraft rather than an Army. So we assign an Air Force officer to the Army's artillery school so we can teach that artilleryman, that fire support coordinator, how do you get air and what do you get when you ask for air?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the way I like to say it.
Okay, well, that's a good way to do it. So you taught to kind of put it in my words and to drill it into my brain. Of course, the Marine Corps has a similar type of thing, right. But it's a little different because we have it all within our service.
Right.
But to drill it back into me, the Army doesn't have their own organic aircraft. They have to rely on, well, they do have helicopters, I guess, but...
And some little...
And small aircraft.
Small aircraft, right.
But to understand Air Force operations, Army and Air Force have a little bit different language when they're talking
right.
about stuff.
Right.
And so that they can understand better, they right. have an Air Force known pilot, knows Air Force operations,
right.
knows flight operations inside right. and out, come to their school and teach the artillerymen so they can better understand, especially when they're fire support coordinators,
that's
because
right.
in that capacity, they have to know about all fire right. support, all
that's
supporting
okay.
fires for the
very well
for the
said.
Infantry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was your job there. And,
yeah.
and about how long were you at that point?
Probably two, maybe 3 years even.
Okay.
For a fairly long time.
And that was, of course, I'm sorry.
And when I shipped to Vietnam, I shipped as an ALO FAC. I was in the squadron.
Oh, that's right.
But I shipped as an ALO FAC.
That being an air liaison officer,
that's right,
forward air controller.
To the Army, right,
mm-hmm.
and helping them control the Air Force guys who were assisting them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and
correct.
As a forward air controller, you were radioing back to the fire support coordinator.
That's correct.
Who
absolutely.
Would then
absolutely.
Make the decisions on how
to... And that's what we were trying to teach these guys, how this all gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, Fort Sill was when Rebecca was born.
That's right. That's it.
And that was, of course, I'm sure, another delightful time and
mm-hmm.
kept the whole household busy because
that's
at that
right.
time you've got
yeah.
three growing girls and
yeah.
getting around the house quite a bit, keeping Avis quite occupied.
See, another thing I did at the artillery school is... You don't plan a firepower demonstration. You perform a firepower.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the guy that did the moderation for the firepower demonstration for the students and visitors and staff and or anybody who.
I see.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And that was ongoing. And I probably told you that story about the general one time that asked me about what the targets were.
Was this the next assignment at Langley?
That's right.
Okay, well, we're getting that, and that's going to be our last
okay,
thing, so you get
enough.
To take a rest.
Fair enough. Okay.
So you leave Fort Sill,
right.
and you go to Langley Air Force Base in Hampton, Virginia.
Which is Headquarters Tactical Air Command.
Okay. And in that capacity... Obviously, you're a very useful person to have because you just came from Fort Sill.
I'm an operational briefing officer. That's
okay.
the title I go to. And the operations staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And from there, you would brief general level.
The commander and his staff.
Okay.
And the commander was a 4-star.
Okay. That's pretty high up there.
General Sweeney and General Westover, the two generals that I dealt with.
Okay. What would their capacity as the Tactical Air Command? Now, it seems to me that going back to General
Timberlake.
Timberlake. He was also.
He was one part of the command. He was a 2-star general under the 4, but his was one of the Air Force, his 9th Air Force, mm-hmm. that belonged to Tactical Air Command, but he was the commander of that unit.
Also within the big umbrella of Tactical Air Command, you're coming back. See, in this capacity, you're kind of coming back home.
That's
in
right.
a way.
See, and you've got that guy who's fighters, TAC. You got another guy over here who's airlift.
Mm-hmm. Just,
that's his primary job. That's mm-hmm. all he deals with, airlift aircraft, which are ones that armies jump out of, or yeah. transportation, or whatever. Yeah.
And would you also have bombers fall under that Tactical Air Command?
We had some medium bombers,
mm-hmm.
but mostly fighters and transport aircraft.
Okay.
And some recce also. We had some recce birds.
Fighters, recce?
Both visual and photography.
And light, was it light bombers or medium bombers?
Medium bombers would have been. Well, they may be called light. I don't know, but those that type of, but they'll know it as medium bombers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you need the numbers or?
No, okay. Not, well, if you got them off the top of your head.
Yeah, B-66. We're looking at bombers or recce?
We start off fighters. Fighters was F-100s, I guess.
Well, see, in that when I first got to the F-100, wasn't there. It was
okay.
The 86.
Okay.
It had the F-84s. It had an F-86H model.
Uh-huh.
And you had, well, you had a, for in a different period, you had a few P-51, a variety, but fighter mm-hmm. aircraft, just call them fighters and light bombers.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you use for recce? Do you remember?
A B-57 is one, for example.
Uh-huh.
The B-45 is one that would use very limited numbers for recce. You had an mm-hmm. F-101, RF-101, which in MacDonald is very, it's a spinoff to the F-4 Phantom of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a recce bird. Then okay. you had, you know, guys, that's all I can think of at the moment. To be
honest. That's okay. What kind of medium bombers did you have in those days?
You had a B-66
mm-hmm.
and a B-57.
Okay.
That's the two primary.
And the transport is probably a C-47?
C-47, C-119, the boxcar, flying boxcar.
Okay.
And let's see, not the C-141, C-124. That's the primary one.
Okay. All right. That's mm-hmm. good. Well, and that was working our way up to the story that you're probably about to tell a minute ago, mm-hmm. where a general called you in to brief and he was asking you a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that one.
Okay. Upon arrival at headquarters TAC, having come from the Army's artillery school at Fort Sill, I was assigned to the operations staff as a briefing officer, and the purpose of that officer was to keep the commander informed, and the commander happened to be a 4-star general, Sweeney, and it was my job to keep him abreast of the activities of his command.
Mm-hmm.
And so a typical morning would be to brief. Remember, if you brief the commander, you have to brief the vice commander first. In order to brief him, you had to brief the command post director before that. And in order to brief him, you had to brief your immediate boss before that. So you're briefing starting at 4 o'clock in the morning for a 9 o'clock briefing.
Yeah.
And Avis remembers all that.
I bet.
And so that was the requirement, was to keep him brief. So you want me to tell you the story?
Yes.
on a given morning, and I made the decision of what I were on the briefing list, and I knew what he wanted, so it was a very simple task to make the choice of what the briefing items were. And so I selected a briefing item had to do with a fighter unit having a firepower demonstration at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. It was a guard unit from the Indiana, and they were staging out of Altus, Oklahoma, to perform the firepower demonstration at Fort Sill. And during the briefing, the commanding general very deliberately stopped the briefing and started asking questions about that. What do you mean about that firepower demonstration? Tell me about it. Who's putting on a firepower demonstration? Well, your forces are, General. We have this squadron from this location to go into Fort Sill to be there for 3 days to perform a firepower demo for the Army's Artillery School. What the hell is this Army Artillery School about? So I proceed to tell him that they're the fire support coordinator, and then he moves along to another. Well, what's their target? And I tell him, and what is their, whose is it again? What unit is it? And I tell him, well, what type of weapons are they using for this firepower demonstration you're talking about? I tell him, well, where are they staging from? I tell him. And so finally we get to the meat of the source, that there are a firepower demonstration for the Army's Artillery School, and move on to the briefing to other items. Then immediately after the briefing's over, I'm back in my little cubbyhole office, and the general calls me. He himself calls me, picks up the phone, and the Eisman asked for me by name.
And that was General Sweeney?
General Sweeney, well, it was really General Westover, who's the vice of the three-star.
Okay.
But they were doing it together.
I see. Okay.
And so he asked for me, and I answered the phone, as a matter of fact, and he told me who it was, and then he began asking me questions, and specifically he wanted to know, how did I know the answer to all the questions that he was giving me? And he specifically said afterwards, he said, I thought I'd never stump you on all. I can't believe you knew all the answers. I told him the day before or the week before I had just come from there, and I'd been conducting those firepower demonstrations at Fort Sill. And that's how I was able to second guess all of his questions. And from then on, we became friends. You know, that was sort of cute, funny, curious the way he did that. You know, okay, he sneaked into it. He didn't want to show it, ignorance and all what they were all about.
Yeah.
But that's what he's doing.
He had no idea you'd just come from there.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
Anyway.
Well, okay. Well, Bill, that, unless there's something else about Langley, I guess you were there maybe a year or two.
Yeah, but it was all that whole...
The whole time briefing.
Briefing, right.
And getting up early in the mornings and having to be there at...
And I had the boss was a lieutenant colonel, and I was a young captain at the time. And I had another cohort, another captain, and I, we did most of the briefing, but together we kept each other informed and backed each other up so that we could respond to the needs and the questions of the commander. Yeah.
That seemed like a pretty high stress assignment.
Well,
being 4 stars and 3 stars walking around everywhere.
Yeah. Down the hall.
But being a moderator from your previous, that helped a little, I'm sure.
And it sure did, yeah.
And plus knowing as much as you did about it. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes,
appreciate it. We had a good session today, and that'll give me a lot to work on.
Okay,
we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Okay, very good.